Tonight's reading is from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Well, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see you again. Thank you for coming back after such a busy morning. It's great to see you. Do turn back in your Bibles to Luke 10, and let's pray. Father, what a wonderful vision that is, of being before the throne in heaven, with countless worshippers, extolling the Lord Jesus, worshipping him for his great glory, for his victory over sin and death and hell and all of the demons of hell. And we thank you that we can worship you now. Thank you for our welcome in your presence. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for your word. We pray now that you would speak to us, Father, by your Spirit, and glorify the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. What do you think is the hardest thing about being a Christian in England? Is it that society is becoming increasingly hostile to us? Is it that you can no longer say, in polite company, that sex belongs within heterosexual marriage? Is it that our friends laugh at us for following Christ? Is it that our families make life difficult for us? These are real difficulties. However, I think the biggest battle most Christians face is quite simply to pray and read the Bible, to have a quiet time. I've been doing church work now since 1996, and if I had a pound for every time a church member has told me they don't read their Bible and or they don't pray, I reckon I'd have enough money to go on holiday. I also know from my own experience that if I'm under pressure, one of the first things to go can be half an hour with the Lord in the morning. We need to recognize this. This is a major strategy of the enemy. Satan does not want Christians to read the Bible. Satan knows that when Christians read the Bible, they become strong, mature, and stable as Christians. And so Satan comes up with all kinds of schemes which distract us from spending time with God. And today, we meet two sisters, Mary and Martha. One makes it a priority to spend time with Jesus. The other is too busy. You can see where this talk is going. Don't be like Martha. Do be like Mary. Don't be like Martha. Can you picture the scene? Verse 38. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus, of course, is going there to die. And they come to a village called Bethany, where Jesus' special friends live, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their siblings. Martha, who was the practical one, regularly opened her home to Jesus. So Martha was a good person. She was a friend of Jesus. She wasn't just a friend in name. She proved her love for him. She lived for him in a practical way. In other words, even the best of Christians can make this mistake. I heard Wayne Grudem speak on one occasion. Grudem is one of my very favorite Bible scholars. I get excited when I go to hear him speak. And Grudem was one of the scholars who translated the English Standard Version of the Bible. He's a top scholar. And he said that when they met as a committee to finish the new translation, they spent 12 hours a day as a committee studying the Bible together. So, understandably, he didn't bother to have a quiet time. He didn't bother to read the Bible on his own in his room. After all, he was spending 12 hours a day studying the Bible. And you know what he found? He found that he felt himself drifting from Christ. It's not enough to look at the Bible with others. We must read it for ourselves. I face the same issue. I study the Bible professionally. But it's not enough. I must have time alone with Jesus in his word. Martha was a good person, but she made this mistake. She didn't make time with Jesus a priority. Verse 40. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. This was very understandable. Someone's got to clean the house, make the food, wash the dishes, and so he could go on. In fact, Martha comes to Jesus and she complains about her sister. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Can you relate to this? It's very understandable. But nonetheless, Jesus says, don't be like Martha. Be like Mary. What was Mary like? Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. I love this verse. She sat at the Lord's feet. What a wonderful place to sit. How wonderful that when I go into my room and close the door and shut the world out, I'm not on my own. I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. This means sitting ready to listen. Opening his word, expecting to hear his voice. This is a wonderful thing. If you don't have a quiet time, you don't know what you're missing. It's hard work to read the Bible. It requires prayer. It requires concentration. My mind wanders. I don't mind admitting. My mind wanders in prayer and in Bible reading. I believe that's quite normal. If your mind wanders, you're in good company. When my mind wanders, I just repent and refocus. Refocus on the Bible passage or on my prayer list. I'll come back to prayer list later. I never feel condemned because my mind wanders. I just refocus. So here is Mary at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Some people read the Bible, but they don't listen to the voice of Jesus. I studied theology, studied the Bible at Cambridge. I met scholars there who knew the Bible very well, but they'd never listened to the voice of Jesus. They'd never come to the Bible in that way. How do you come to the Bible? Do you remember the story of Samuel? Samuel was a little boy who was dedicated to God by his mother, and so he goes to live in the tabernacle, which was the forerunner of the temple. And God speaks to him in the middle of the night. And at first, he thinks that it's his guardian, Eli the priest, calling him. So he keeps running into Eli's bedroom. Eventually, Eli realizes that God is speaking to Samuel. And so he tells Samuel to say to God, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." That's a very good prayer. That's the example of Mary. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Try it. Go into your room, get your Bible out, and say to God, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And just see if God will speak to you from his word. I'm sure he will. The Bible says of itself that it is a living word, living and active. God's living word will speak to you if you come prayerfully saying, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Now look at verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Now, we mustn't take Jesus too literally. Obviously, more than one thing is needed. Obviously, practical work has got to be done. It's fantastic to see the church working as a team at Christchurch. When we put on an evangelistic event, Bernie or Sam or one of us will give the talk, and lots of other people will make the food, wash the dishes, put the chairs out, and so we could go on. So more than one thing is needed. But Jesus is making the point to Martha that she's missed the main point. Imagine if we got all the practicalities of church life right. Fantastic music, fantastic audiovisual, great food, perfect venue, but no Bible. We would have missed the main point. This is Martha's mistake. She's missed out on the main point. Mary hasn't. Mary has grasped the main point, verse 42. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. That's a wonderful promise. Choose to listen to Jesus, choose to read the Bible prayerfully, and God's word, the word of Jesus, will not be taken from you. This is rather like Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is very true. If you put God's word into your mind, into your heart, you will not lose it, and it will change you. I was brought up in a Christian home, and although I had a period of rebellion when I was 18, actually, the fact that God's word was in my heart meant that largely I did not sin against him. God's word kept me close to God through all the temptations of being a teenager. The same thing happened to me when I was a student and I went through a period of serious doubt. Even though I was doubting that Christianity was true, I kept reading the Bible every day. I kept praying. I kept going to church. I kept serving God. In some respects, I had no option because God's word had worked on my heart. I belonged to Christ. I was programmed to serve him, even though I was having doubts. The promise Jesus makes to Mary here applies to us. Put God's word into our hearts, and it will not be taken away from us. It will keep us from sin. It will cause us to serve Christ. So, don't be like Martha. Don't miss the main point. Be like Mary. Sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his every word. Now let's get practical. How do you have a quiet time? Everyone is different. This is what I do, and I think it works. First of all, as Andy said, buy a set of notes. I use the Explore notes. Explore explains the Bible passage for the day. So have a word with Hazel and order your copy. Get your sticky fingers on a copy of Explore or something similar. Then get up early enough to have a quiet time. I know that in order to get my children to school by 8:45, I've got to get up at 7. Therefore, if I want to have a quiet time, I've got to get up at 6:30. I've tried getting up at 6 and failed to keep it going. Make sure you leave enough time in the morning for a quiet time. This means, of course, you must go to bed fairly early. If you don't go to bed till 1 a.m, you won't get up at 6:30 for a quiet time. So, you've managed to get out of bed. Incidentally, if for a good reason you can't pray in the morning, you could have a quiet time in the lunch hour or in the evening. There's no law about when you pray, but Jesus got up early to pray. Something about the early morning, the lack of distraction, which is good for prayer. Anyway, back to how to have a quiet time. Find somewhere quiet. This is essential. Although, when our children were small, we had to have our quiet times with children running around us. God understands this. It's not ideal, but still have your quiet time. It will do your children so much good to see you reading the Bible and praying. If they see you doing it, they will do it themselves. Very obvious thing to say. You must equip yourself with a Bible. When I was a student, I was advised to stop reading my Bible so much and to go into my room, light a candle, and sit in silence and let God speak to me directly. This was very bad advice. God speaks to us through his word, primarily. So can you picture yourself in your room with a Bible, with a set of explore notes? Next, you begin with prayer. Remember Samuel's prayer? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Ask God to speak to you through his word. Remember what Sam said a few weeks ago. Recognize that you're coming before Almighty God. Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. Come with a sense of awe. Come in worship. Praise him for who he is. And then, having prayed, read the passage set for the day. Explore notes give you a different passage every day to read. Read it, and then the explore notes will give you questions to think about on the passage. Think about the answers. Finally, when you've read the passage, thought about the explore notes, now it's time to pray. I use a prayer list. I have a personal prayer list. I pray for myself first. I've got to get myself right with God. I pray for myself first. Then my family. Then my wider family. Then my friends who are on the list. Then other ministers and missionaries. Then non-Christians that I'm praying for. Then I pray for church members on the church prayer list. Also, I tend to pray that God will give me opportunities to share the gospel with someone that day. And as I said, my mind wanders. But I just keep bringing myself back to the prayer list. So that's how I do it. There's plenty of room for flexibility. But the fundamental thing is to be like Mary, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen to his voice in the Bible.